Representative Johnson would take her seat. I wouldn't have to wait for her any longer again. I go on a long diatribe here, but being the polite, gentlemanly type that I am, I will not single out Representative Johnson and display my wrath and displeasure at the party I had to attend last night.
Could it be noted for the record, Representative Johnson grovels an abject apology publicly?
I believe you owe Senator Hartung an apology as well. This is a very inside joke, but I'd be happy to share it with you. Budget bills reported out of subcommittee. House Bill 5048, Senator's Row.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is a housekeeping bill, basically. State agencies with other and federal fund revenues have language in their governing statutes that continuously appropriates other and federal funds to agencies for their purposes. The legislature then provides statutory expenditure limitation on those appropriated funds. A review has been made of state agency statutes, and it's found that some of the state agencies don't have the language they need to have in their statute. So after this review was done, legislative council prepared this bill, took a bill that we had as a kind of general bill for general use, and amended the bill with the dash one amendments to give to those agencies that don't have this continuing appropriation language the right language, so that they can be technically up to date with what we need of them so that they can do their business. So we recommend approval of House Bill 5048 as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 5048 to the House floor, House Bill 5048 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5545, Department of Transportation, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
You may want to acknowledge that Senator Brown had to sit through that seventh level of Dante's Hell as well.
Senator Brown and I have already spoken in the hall, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5545 is the budget for the Department of Transportation. The agency develops and manages the statewide transportation system, licenses and regulates drivers and vehicles, and supports traffic safety, public transit, and multimodal planning programs. The department for the budget totals $1.8 billion and 4,723.39 FTE. This is an increase of $58 million from the governor's recommended budget. The increase is primarily the result of carrying forward expenditure limitation that was programmed for expenditure in the current biennium, but will not actually be paid out until the 2001-03 biennium. The budget consists of $18,195,393 general funds, which support senior and disabled, public transit, the Willamette Valley High-Speed Rail Program, the federally mandated Motor Voter Program, and provides matching funds for the Transportation Growth Management Program. The budget also includes $20 million lottery funds for debt service on the West Side Light Rail bonds. The budget provides expenditure limitation for $1.6 billion in other funds and $70 million in federal funds. The bulk of the department's revenue comes from motor fuel taxes and vehicle and driver license fees that are constitutionally dedicated. Other revenues include maritime pilot fees and charges for services. The department receives federal funds from a number of programs and shows most of its federal revenue as other funds. The Transportation/Economic Development Subcommittee approved proposals to do the following. Emphasize maintaining the existing highway infrastructure by increasing the expenditure limitation $4.2 million in highway and bridge preservation. Replace contract services with 30 FTE in information systems, resulting in a net savings of $156,000. Abolish or reclassify 51 currently vacant positions to provide positions to deploy environmental expertise to each of the regional offices throughout the state, and reduce contract services, resulting in a net savings of $3.3 million. Increase the expenditure limitation for the Youth Litter Patrol Program. Approve an increase of 22 positions in the Driver and Motor Vehicles Division to maintain current services in business regulation and field offices, reopen offices in Milton Freewater, Coquille, and Oak Ridge, and open a new office in Lapine. increase the federal motor carrier safety assistance program limitation by $3.2 million, and add 6 positions to the rail division program to provide technical assistance to regions and communities needing to develop intercity passenger or commuter rail programs, and to manage highway railroad grade crossing improvement projects. The budget for the Board of Maritime Pilots was also reviewed and approved. Several budget notes were adopted addressing the following: transportation growth management, development programs, and the highway cost allocation study. Changes in environmental rules and procedures to produce cost savings that will result in more money put onto road projects. Direct personnel communication with affected property owners for road projects. Additional review of technology packages by the Interim Joint Legislative Committee on Technology and Management. Position management, and a report on travel and training expenses. Your subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5545.
Thank you, Representative. That laborious reading was 3 times more exciting than the 4 hours of torture you exposed us to last night, so I appreciate your brevity.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. It's my fervent prayer that I can survive today under your withering criticism for last night.
Any discussion regarding Senate Bill 5545? Representative Hayden.
Question of the carrier, Mr. Co-Chair.
Of course.
I missed in your presentation, if it was, I missed why there was the $13 million increase in general funds.
I'm going to defer to staff.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hayden, the increase is the for the transit. It's not an increase. The $13 million is for continuing the public transit services for senior disabled and the high-speed rail. It's, the general fund carryover from compared to last biennium is actually a decrease of about $2 million.
Well, Mr. Chair, was it, what is it, a transfer then from some?
No, Representative Hayden, it's...
Well, I'm not understanding it. It says estimated expenditures $5 million, committee recommendation $18 million, and that is not an increase.
Oh, Mr. Chair, Representative Hayden, the estimated amount is the estimated at April of 2000, and the expenditures that will actually occur will be the $20 million that they had in their budget. We revised that at the LFO level when we did our analysis. But that's the governor's estimated at April 2000 when they cut off the expenditure for budgeting purposes.
Mr. Chairman, question of the co-chair. Has the probable increase of $40 million a year, I think it is, $20, $40 million a year from title fees, has that been factored into this budget?
That is my understanding.
It has been.
I'm seeing affirmative nods all around, yes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman.
Any other additional comments, discussion, questions? Senator Yee.
Mr. Co-Chair, your subcommittee on transportation has asked for performance measures from transportation department, and we have received about 30 of them. But out of 30, we have prioritized them into about 5 top priority performance measures that the assembly would like to see. And if you don't agree with our priorities, please let us know so we can add or delete from the list. I just want to call your attention to the performance measures that I have passed out to each member. And the first one is on traffic fatalities, 100 million vehicle miles. You can see the past data has gone up to as much as 1.91 rate per 100 million. And now it's gone to about, we expect it to go down to about 1.17, and by 03, 1.15. And that is a very good sign that things are improving. But if during some years it's gone up, and we need to look at why, where the traffic accidents have happened, and where some correction needs to be done. And the second priority is percent of roads in fair or better condition. And you can see in 01 is 77%. By 03, it's going to go down to 76%. So things are not looking good, and maybe more funding ought to be area to preserve the condition into fair condition. The third priority is DMV local office waiting time. And the committee feels that the DMV office is the first contact with the public, and we want to make sure that the office is efficient and expeditious in handling public matters. So right now the time is 15 minutes, and we hope that with the opening of new offices and the extension, restoration of old offices in Lapine and Oak Hill, Oak Ridge, in those areas, we hope the waiting time will reduce. Right now it's 15 minutes compared to 12.8 minutes in the year 2000. So we're hoping the waiting time will go down as we open those new offices. And the fourth priority is statewide percent of bridges with posted low limits. It is about 5%, 300 bridges have restricted low limits. And this is very important, because if we have high percentage of restricted loads, it will increase freight costs. Truckers will have to reroute and will get to their destination. So this is an area that will affect the economy of the state, and we want to watch and hope that the bridges will continue to be repaired and less restricted loads. The fifth priority is public transit annual rise for elderly and disabled Oregonians. And you can see that the rides have been increasing to about 5.5 in 01, and hope that it will increase to about 7.1 rides, annual rides for the elderly and disabled. So I think this gives us a good picture of their performance and set their goals for the next 2 years. And next year, when the returning members can watch their performance and follow up and plan strategy to improve the situation. Well, this is a presentation from your
I'd like to compliment Senator Yee and the department for coming up with a succinct list. And as she indicated, this is by no means the Holy Grail or the comprehensive list, and maybe some of these measures could be replaced or augmented with others that the committee and the body finds more appropriate and acceptable. But, you know, for the first time ever in this succinct fashion, I've seen some, you know, major questions answered in performance regarding ODOT put on one sheet of paper. So I compliment the department, and I compliment Senator Yee for her diligence and really initiative. I mean, I'm impressed, and thank you.
Oh, thank you. This is the work of Committee of Transportation.
Any further questions? Senator Dukes.
I want to join you, Mr. Co-Chair. This is an excellent list, and it's been badly needed for a lot of years, and I think that if ODOT can meet these performance measures, that the public in general will be far more supportive of what they need, which is one of the biggest things they need is public support. When they get public support, they get legislative support. But I would express concern only about one of them, and that's the percent of children bicyclists who use a helmet, which is scheduled for 2003 to get up to 60%. There are grants out there that are available to help us do some of this, and I contrast it with the one right above it, which is the number of vehicle occupants using safety belts, and there we're aiming for 90%. I would like to see that we target children using bicycle helmets at a higher than 60%. There are free helmets out there for children whose parents can't afford them. There are grants to city and county police to help them target it. We don't have to give these kids a ticket. We can give them a warning. We can talk to their parents. We can go into the schools and talk to the kids in the schools, trying to make it the in thing to do to wear some of these neat helmets. So I think 60% is encouraging brain injury and some of those kinds of things, so I hope we'll aim higher.
Well, I think the point this morning, as opposed to specific information here...
Is we have a target?
Is that, you know, you have the privilege of being concerned about a disturbing
yes.
fact, and that's courtesy of Representative Butler
yes.
committee.
The fact that we have a target is wonderful.
But I saw that, too, and had the same concern, Senator. Senator Trope.
Yeah, some of these, I think, don't relate as directly to the agency's responsibilities as they might, and I just was wondering about that. Seems to me that the Department of State Police, local enforcement authorities are as responsible for bicyclists who use a helmet or drivers who drive without seatbelts than is ODOT itself. And I just wondered about making them responsible for some things that are not directly their responsibility and holding them accountable for those. There is transportation safety in ODOT. I recognize that. So that is that's okay, but I think other agencies help with the enforcement of these as well. And so they may be doing a good job at ODOT, and nobody else is enforcing these things, and that would account for some of the things that happen.
Well,
just a comment.
Compliments to ODOT for helping, you know,
sure.
get the information together. I mean,
yeah, right.
not necessarily
mm-hmm.
Their entire responsibility.
Right.
This is great work. Senator Clarno.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to compliment the chair of this subcommittee as a member of that committee. It was a lot of work, and a lot of good work was done in this committee, and certainly compliment Senator Yee, if all the agencies worked as well with Senator Yee in prioritizing their performance measures, I think they would probably find their time before the committee a lot better, and they might take a lesson from Mike March. As a matter of fact, Mike might be in charge of teaching agencies how to present in front of committees. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Butler.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair. I do appreciate the work of all the committee members. And I know that Senator Yee sometimes feels like he's the lone voice in the wilderness crying out that we need the performance measures, and certainly the agency came forward. This is the umpteenth iteration of the actual performance measures. There were sub-measures that helped us arrive to this particular point. Also, in addition to Senator Clarno and Senator Yee, recognize the other members that serve on the committee and appreciated particularly this 31-page budget that has been presented today with dozens of departments and subheadings in it, the good work that Representative Johnson did in helping us come to this particular point, and her particular knowledge and experience and background, I think it's appropriate that Representative Johnson be carrying this, and I do appreciate the work that she has done and helped us with.
Representative who? who was that? Thank you. That's all clarification. Any further discussions, questions, compliments? Representative Aide?
Several comments, Mr. Chairman. Also, my congratulations to Senator Yee for this. These are interesting statistics, and I presume they were done in the absence of the Progress Board help with this in the agency.
Mr. Chairman, I almost wanted to say now is a good chance to say we are collecting data, we are doing performance measures, we can watch our progress without the progress, without spending $1.1 million.
Okay, well, Mr. Chairman, yesterday, several members of the committee were expressing their remorse at having voted on a certain bill last session and reversing their position this year. I have to confess that as a closet conservative, I resisted seatbelts for many sessions. At the same time that I was resisting the lack of studded tires. And these statistics are dramatic, a dramatic reduction in fatalities, partially, I suppose, due to the use of seatbelts. So I'm a born-again believer there based on these statistics. I do question the percentage of traffic fatalities that involve alcohol. Anecdotally, the troopers tell me that it's probably closer to 90% of fatalities that involve drugs and alcohol. I think this is very, very low, just based anecdotally. And my comment here would be that our money might be better spent being sure that people do not drive drunk. Yeah, that our money might be better spent there than better bridges or better paving or guardrails or left turn escapes and that kind of stuff. Probably if we'd get our drunk driving down to 1%, we'd see a dramatic reduction in fatalities, no matter what the condition of the roads are in. And also, Mr. Chairman and Senator Yee and the assembled ODOT people, I believe that studded tires save lives and property just as seatbelts do, and I would like to see that added to the performance measurements. I would like to know the percentage of cars that are or are not involved in traffic fatalities in the winter on the ice that have studs. I think that would be an important thing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I don't suppose we add budget notes or amendments here, but could it be a sense of the committee that that would be something for ODOT to pursue?
I believe that's this list as proposed is a list of recommendations and is not exclusive or to any specific. So obviously I would appreciate some information on studded tires, and I don't want to start that debate in this committee right now. Mr. Chair, it doesn't need to be a debate. The department does have those statistics and some information about the studded tires, and that would be available directly to you from Mr. Mark.
Well, if next session it could be added to this list, I think that would be helpful. Thank you.
Mr. Co-Chair, I'm sure the staff will assist us to look into statistics in accidents that's related to alcohol and drugs. I mean, check the statistics. Mr. Chair, we'll make note of that.
Right. Okay, moving right along. Any other questions, discussions, comments, critiques, compliments of Senate Bill 5545? Representative Schrader.
On page 10, Representative Johnson, I wonder if you could elaborate a little bit on the special program, $58 million. What does that entail?
Ms. Jordan, again, I'll ask Ms. Jordan to provide a more detailed list.
Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, that $58 million primarily is the $50 million in bonds proceeds that was approved in the last biennium for the local street networks and access management programs. The bonds were sold later in the biennium and won't be expended. They've been committed but won't be actually spent out until the next biennium.
Excellent program. Another question, please?
First.
On page 17, some discussion about the Transportation Growth Management Program, and then there's a budget note later on, I think page 18, and wanted to get a handle on the status, how that program actually came out. It's a little tough to follow reading the budget document itself. Looks like there was a movement of some of its activities to the planning and research part of the division or whatever. It's been an important part of local small towns' abilities to deal with growth and transportation issues, so I'm somewhat interested.
Ms. Jordan. Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, this is a package that the department proposed to move one of their program managers from DLCD to transportation. It's the same program. It just recognizes where the work's actually being done. There is no change in the service level there. And the budget note has to do with the aggregate planner. Is that the one that you're...
No, I was looking at the grants awarded shall not be funded with flexible surface transportation.
The budget note is the same budget note that was in the last biennium. Senator Duke had asked that it be repeated in this budget because the department paid attention to making sure that the transportation dollars were being spent on transportation projects and transportation growth as well. So.
The last question would be on page 20. Third line down talks about reduction in general fund of $900,000, and wonder what that was related to. Package 090.
Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, that's in the public transit division. That's the general fund reduction to senior disabled transit services. There is also a budget note accompanying that directs the agency to take that reduction out of the capital portion and not the operating, so the operating portion of senior disabled transit is maintained at current services. What it does is it slows down the replacement of buses over time.
Just a comment. I'd hope that by the end of session we'd have an opportunity to restore that, because it's been a very popular program. We need to do that to help our senior disabled population, and hope we'd be able to fully fund that by the end of session.
Mr. Chair, I might just add that we spent some considerable amount of time in committee with the head of the transit section discussing oversight of the programs for the management of those buses where they're purchased by local government, particularly where local government has contracted out the provision of transportation service to not-for-profits at the local government level, and have assurances from the department that they will be aggressive in monitoring those programs where there are subcontractees at the local county level.
I appreciate hearing that, and I know there are several jurisdictions, one of which I happen to represent, that is looking at doing some innovative public transit outside of Portland metropolitan area and trying to be a little more responsive to the needs of the local community, and getting very difficult for them to be able to afford the buses and some of the alternate mass or public transit systems. So again, any money that could go back into that would be really helpful.
Additional comments, questions? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 5545 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Other bills reported out of subcommittee. Senate Bill 63A, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. One need only recall the recent earthquake in the state of Washington to appreciate the need for a statewide disaster relief program, and Senate Bill 63A attempts to do that. It provides the mechanism for the state of Oregon through the Economic and Community Development Department to assist local governments when a disaster is declared. The amendments to the bill remove the fiscal impact, which included a $1 general fund appropriation for disaster relief. The bill authorizes the department to use existing resources from the Special Public Works Fund to provide up to $2.5 million a biennium to municipalities for federal disaster relief matching fund requirements. The subcommittee also added a budget note to the budget bill for the Economic and Community Development Department that directs the department to assist local governments to secure federal disaster relief. The General Government Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 63.
Any questions or discussion of Senate Bill 63?
Mr. Co-Chair, this bill allows the Economic Development Department to use the Public Works Fund to help local communities in grant or loan disaster situations. Can you tell us under what circumstances will they give a grant instead of a loan? Because I don't understand why we allow local communities not to repay their loans. So can you explain what is the circumstance?
Mr. Co-Chair and Senator Yee, the purpose of the creation of this fund is to allow the maximization of federal disaster relief to come into the state. We are one of a handful of states that does not have a mechanism to fully realize federal assistance to municipalities. As far as the difference between a grant or a loan, I would think that that would be based on the discussion we had in the committee, would be based on a negotiation between local government and Oregon Economic and Community Development. The idea was to be able to repair or replace public infrastructure in response to a natural disaster. and without going into the specifics of where a loan might be appropriate versus a grant, I think we've left maximum flexibility for the Oregon Community and Economic Development to work with local government. But the principal motivator behind Senate Bill 63 was to cause Oregon to create a mechanism in which to receive federal disaster grant money rather than leave it on the table when Oregon has a disaster and we had no mechanism to receive those federal funds.
Mr. Co-Chair, I think the idea of setting up a mechanism is a good idea, but on the other hand, the more grants we give, the less loan we can give to other communities. So I'm interested in understanding what is the criteria the department uses in giving these grants. I can work with the department and try to understand what is the criteria. Because I think that's very important at a time of limited resources. We want to help as many communities as possible. My second question is, in case of an abundance of natural disasters that can happen in a year, and what kind of being set up for priority access to the loan. So we need to have some kind of criteria also for giving loans.
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Yee, I understand that the criteria follows your long-established pattern of setting out performance measures, and I applaud that. I think perhaps we did not fully explore criteria that are uniform and memorialized. We left a great deal of flexibility in the grant or loan process. As far as the $2.5 million, I think when one looks at the magnitude of the disaster in Washington, $2.5 million is a paltry amount of money. I think local government would join me in saying that the Senate Bill 63 is a starting point, that we at least need to create the funds so that we are not abandoning federal money in response to a state disaster. So this is a beginning point, and I would anticipate that you may see legislation in future sessions that addresses an augmentation to this fund so that Oregon communities are completely prepared in the case of disaster.
I believe Senator Dukes has some information on this subject as well.
Just a little bit, Mr. Co-Chair. We need to remember that this only kicks in the case of federal and state declared emergencies. So these are pretty desperate things. We've been talking a lot about the 9-point tsunami or 9-point earthquake that generates the tsunami. I don't know if they put tsunamis on those kinds of scales, but that we're waiting for off on the Oregon coast and the Washington-California coast, and we need to remember that a city like Rockaway Beach, which can't afford today to do anything more than put in a few sidewalks because they don't have the population, and it happens to sit right on the ocean, in the case of that tsunami, is unlikely to be able to repay a loan. So I think we need to give some flexibility. In the 96 floods, a city like Vernonia was completely isolated and needed grant money. Loans are because then you have to do more afterwards after the initial emergency is gone. So I think it would be a mistake for the legislature to put the criteria in for when it should be a grant and when it should be a loan. And in this case, we needed to give the agency some flexibility, but there are some communities who would be unable to repay loans, and to leave them to no longer be cities would be unfortunate.
I want to follow that up, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. The way that this bill, the mechanism for the bill works, Senator Yee, it will prescribe that the department write rules, and that will engage the public in a process to help develop the criteria. So that I would assume that there will be a considerable amount of public process to help develop those. Your unique expertise in being able to pinpoint performance measures would probably be quite useful in that rule writing process.
Representative Hayden?
Mr. Co-Chair, I was on the subcommittee that heard this bill, and I certainly support it. I pointed out to the subcommittee, and I point out to the full committee, that there are a number of private relief agencies in the state of Oregon that are prepared to help with disaster relief. They stockpile blankets and bottled water and food. And as the rules are written, it's my feeling they should be invited to the planning sessions. not necessarily that they're in line for grants, although that might be possible through administrative rules, but they should be included because they are a resource that should not be ignored.
Good comment, sir. Senator Trofe.
I was just wondering, how broad is the word municipality? Does it cover counties? Does it cover school districts in case there are needs there?
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Trofe, municipality in this case means municipality, although we had quite a bit of conversation in the exact wording of some of the language to try to make sure that we identified public infrastructure versus private infrastructure. There was some debate because in certain instances, Senator Dukes, for example, has in her district some private not-for-profit water districts. Again, I think we consider Senate Bill 63 a first step. It could profit from refinement and some continuing legislative oversight. There is a lot of federal money tied up in this, and as some of us know firsthand from disasters that included flooding and the results of volcanoes, when disaster strikes, having the mechanisms to maximize federal partnerships was the important first step that this bill attempted to achieve.
Great. Any other discussion? Seeing none, any objections to moving Senate Bill 63A as amended to the Senate floor with due pass recommendation? Seeing none?
I'm a no, but if I can try to understand the criteria for loans and grants before it hits the Senate floor, I may be a yes later.
Let the record show, Senator Yee is nay. Senate Bill 63A, having received the constitutional majority, is moved to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Next item, Senate Bill 234. Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Senate Bill 234 provides for the continuation of scientific investigations regarding the health of the Willamette River Basin. Over the past 10 years, data collection and research studies have identified a number of concerns with respect to the physical and biological functioning of the Willamette River. One of the most publicized of the Willamette River health issues has been the occurrence of skeletal deformities in the fish. Senate Bill 234 provides $500,000 to conduct additional studies on the extent and probable causes of fish deformities in the river. The funding is provided to the Department of Higher Education and is to be managed by the Oregon State University Department of Environmental and Molecular Toxicology. The bill directs Oregon State to report annually to the legislature on the status of the fish deformity research project. Funding for Senate Bill 234 is from the Restoration and Protection Research Fund. This fund consists of interest earnings from Measure 66 lottery funds dedicated for salmon and watershed. The fund was established by the 1999 Legislative Assembly to finance research projects directed towards the restoration and protection of native fish populations, watershed, fish, and wildlife habitats. Water quality. Your Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 234 as amended by the -4 amendment. Urge your approval.
I bet you do. Thank you, Senator. Any questions? Senator Petridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I was just wondering, I didn't see any performance measures in this particular bill, and so I was wondering why we should vote on it, because there's no performance measures.
It'll come in a year. In a year, you'll get performance.
Okay.
I think that's a very astute observation.
Right? I had help from the good chair.
Senator Trofe.
I was wondering about the funding. The money comes from the Watershed Enhancement Board. I wonder, did the committee look at what other alternative funding things this money might have provided? It's my guess, anyway, that there's not enough money for watershed enhancements generally, and so this study comes at the expense of something.
Did the committee look into that?
Representative Morgan?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. As the chair of the subcommittee that the bill came out of, perhaps I could answer the good senator's question. The funding for this particular project comes from a fund that was established that collects the interest off of the Measure 66 money as it accrues. And the fund is dedicated towards scientific research. So the committee felt that this was a very good match for Senator Yee's bill.
Generated from the interest on measure, unspent Measure 66 funds. Any additional questions?
Dedicated
for research. Any additional questions? Any objections to moving Senate Bill 234 as amended to the Senate floor with due pass recommendation? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 243. Senator Hartung.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 243 expands the emergency medical services for children, children's program by requiring the Health Division to provide advice and technical assistance to the state and area trauma advisory boards regarding emergency services for children. The bill establishes an emergency medical service for children advisory committee and sets guidelines for pediatric care systems for critically ill or injured children. The Health Division conducts a federally funded grant program to enhance pediatric emergency care, education, and the infrastructure within Oregon. The federal grant will provide approximately $150,000 towards several elements of this bill. The subcommittee amended the bill to clarify that funding would come from gifts, grants, or donations. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 243 as amended.
Any questions? Any discussion? Seeing none, any objections to moving 243 to the Senate floor as amended with the due pass recommendations? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 874A, Jobs Plus, Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 874 continues a modified Jobs Plus program for unemployment insurance claimants. The purpose of this program is to provide jobs in place of unemployment insurance benefits for eligible claimants. Program funding will be provided by House Bill 3441, which diverts a portion of the unemployment insurance tax to generate $25 million in revenue over the next two biennia. Jobs Plus program changes would be effective July 1, 2001, and include the capping of the wage subsidy at $5 per hour, limiting program time to 13 weeks for most participants, anticipating approximately 2,450 participants each year, and loaning up to $5.5 million from the Supplemental Employment Department Administrative Fund until diversion dollars are available. The bill also adds other fund expenditure limitations for the Employment Department in the amount of $12,429,624 for the 2001-03 biennium. Included in this amount is $2.7 million for 26 positions and 24.9 FTE to operate the program. The remainder of the limitation is for a wage subsidy payments to employers. Your Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends your approval of Senate Bill 874 as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Yeah. Senator Brown, you don't look like your normal chipper self this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's fair to say that I was kept up very late last night at a party that will, shall we say, was interesting. I do have a couple of questions, though, Mr. Chair. May I ask them?
Of course.
Thank you. Representative Patridge, there are a couple questions that I have, and I can't tell from the information I have whether I should ask them regarding House Bill 3441 or this particular one, but I'll throw them out there and you can let me know. Are there any potential conflicts with federal law regarding the diversion of the funds, or because we are diverting the funds, we avoid any potential federal law conflicts?
I don't believe that there are any that we're aware of, any that were brought up. We've run the program before, and I think that it's just appropriate, but we have to have the statutory changes.
And Mr. Chair,
would you like staff to enumerate on that?
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Brown, in the past, the Employment Department has used this diversion money to fund the Jobs Plus program as well as provide dollars for other programs, and there have not been any issues with the federal government.
Okay. So, Mr. Chair, follow-up question. Were there employers who don't actually benefit from the bill that came to testify in support of the concept?
I don't believe we had a lot of testimony from employers. I will tell you that I have stacks of letters in my office, though, from employers, probably that thick, from employers who feel that this is a beneficial program. In fact, we had a good senator who sits to your immediate left, who provided her own testimony in working with someone who was involved in the Jobs Plus program.
Yes, I would just elaborate that when I was out of this building for a while and director of the Commission on State Children and Families for Deschutes County, we had a Jobs Plus person working in the office who was so thrilled to get the training and experience. When she went on to bigger and better things and left our office, she was very well trained in the computer skills and other things and was very pleased as a single mother of two children to have that opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Patridge.
Additional questions? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple questions for either the carrier or the committee chair. Was there any discussion in terms of how this will relate on funding streams that would be available for House Bill 3759 that would extend job training or retraining options for dislocated workers?
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Hansen, I don't recall that we had any testimony on House Bill 3759. Ms. Farley shaking her head no as well, so I don't believe that we did.
Is 3759 scheduled for any working?
I'm not even aware of the bill. The director of the Employment Department is, we're all wondering, so I don't think so at this particular point in time. I don't even know where it's at in the process. You probably do.
It's been referred to Ways and Means.
Okay. Yeah, it's in Ways and Means. It's on the stack with many of the other requests. There hasn't been a decision made yes or no on that. That's not to say no, that's just we don't know yet.
That's true.
Any follow-up? Representative Hansen?
No.
Sergio.
Other than anecdotal evidence, do we have any study having been done of the Jobs Plus program to see how effective it is, whether or not it is as effective as the jobs program, for instance, in getting people out successfully employed in the long run? Are there performance measures for the Job Plus program, for instance? And if there are, how does it stack up? Does anybody know that?
Well, if you put Senator Yee on it, performance measure.
Right.
Actually, Mr. Chair, the Employment Department last session looked at Jobs Plus and jobs and tried to establish whether or not one was better or more worthwhile than the other, and Jobs Plus came up severely wanting. It's not a cost-effective program, and I have some concerns about the fact that we don't have the jobs program in this budget, yet we have the Jobs Plus. It is not for every dollar we put in, we lose money in the long run, and it doesn't seem to. And with the, there's also some evidence that with the harder-to-serve clients that we have, they need the basic training, mm-hmm. And especially on the TANF side, right? In the UI side now, the people that don't have jobs or are laid off are the people that have the hardest time keeping jobs. They need the basic training. They don't need this advanced level. And I will speak also as a person that tried to use the Jobs Plus program. I found it very unfriendly and very difficult to use as a small employer. Maybe if you're a big employer and you're trying to cut costs or you have some other opportunity there, that's fine. But I don't think I have found it a very successful jobs program. I had a question, if I may. My understanding was the diversion money was supposed to run out at the end of this biennium, and I understand apparently there's opportunity to get some more. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, the money from the initial diversion has not expired. It's projected to handle existing contracts, I believe, until September of 2001. At that point, the funds would be depleted. House Bill 3441 would create a new diversion of approximately $25 million to fund only the unemployment claimant side of the program for two more biennia.
Right. Okay. Any further discussion? Further questions? Representative Patridge.
I was just going to comment. I think that Employment Department did provide some studies. Hopefully in the future we'll continue to monitor this. I will tell you that I probably not had more mail on any other issue this session than Jobs Plus program and its success in local communities from the local people where I'm from. I know anecdotally as well as a good senator from Central Oregon that in our family's business we've used the Jobs Plus program and have employed, I believe, three people full-time as a result of the Jobs Plus program and their introduction into our particular business as well, so where my family's involved. So just so, you know, to provide that, it provides people with working skills, it provides people with, I think, a good program and good base.
Any further discussion? I can appreciate Representative Schrader's comments with regard to the studies that have been provided. I think everyone will probably agree that there is regrettably scant data and study available. So to categorically state that the studies indicate that it's not working, I think at this juncture would be a premature statement. This program, I think, has a lot of merit and a lot of potential. That, I'll ask one more time.
Oh,
Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I think it was something that Representative Patridge said that finally made up my mind for me because it reminded me of something else. I'm going to be a no here today. The things I've heard about the Jobs Plus program are similar to what Representative Schrader was talking about. But what got my attention is the letters that I've gotten from businesses that piled up in my desk relate to the workplace redesign program that we eliminated this session. And I think that deals with jobs that are much more fair wage for people who are going to end up who are become disabled or unable to do their job in one way or another. And for a small amount of money, we would have been able to retain their jobs. And I guess if I had to choose to spend money someplace, although it is different money, that's sort of the emphasis I would have placed for the legislature to place their emphasis this session, rather than on a program that I think is controversial in terms of whether or not it has great benefit, and that the jobs are higher wage jobs. We could have, I think, had more impact upon the workplace by doing programs like that.
Any further discussion?
Just wanted to...
Representative Hansen.
Well, I'll be voting no on this, too. There may be some merit to Jobs Plus, but I would hope that it would be discussed within the concept of some other training opportunities and some other program that might be either more effective or might be complementary.
President Winters.
Thank you. Just to add to from a small employer, because you mentioned the large employer. As a small employer, we've had the opportunity to use Jobs Plus, and I would tell you, if you are a small employer, to see the individual come in who had limited skills and to see them later. In fact, I just had one recently who left and has gone on to a better employment. And I think that giving those tools and giving them the ability when they come in, and in some instances, it reminded me of when we were back, for those of you who could remember the old CETA programs, and as the employer where you actually had to hand carry some of these individuals in order to retain them on the job. And so I don't know how you equate taking up an individual who was unemployed and assisting them with skills and getting them to the level to where they're going on to a higher level of employment. And I just want to throw that out because that happens in Jobs Plus as a part of the employer's investment into that individual.
Thank you, Representative. Any further discussions? Can I just see an informal show of no's? 1, 2, 3, 4. We better do a roll.
Mr. Chair, I'll be a courtesy to get to the floor if you need a yes vote, but...
I think we're okay. I think that'd be okay. Well, let's do a roll call.
Senator Brown?
No. You need us.
Senator Farno?
Aye.
Ms. Duncan?
Aye.
Hartung?
Aye.
Ferrioli?
Aye.
Duke?
No.
Rowe?
No.
Lee?
Aye.
Senator Johnson?
Aye.
Hayden?
Aye.
Morgan?
Aye.
Hanson?
No.
Hill?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Patridge?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Rader?
No.
Chair Wetman?
Aye. Senate Bill 874A, as amended, having received the constitutional majority, is declared pass and moved to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. House Bill 2668A, Representative Schrader.
Actually, it's House Bill 2268, sir. Modifies the statutory maximums for fees charged for tests performed in state public health laboratory operated by the Health Division. Public Health Lab analyzes tests on about 46,000 babies born in Oregon, Alaska, Hawaii, Idaho, and Nevada. Newborn screenings help physicians make early diagnosis of metabolic and endocrine disorders and begin treatment to prevent or reduce developmental problems, mental retardation, or death. The Health Division currently screens newborns for only 6 disorders and proposes to modernize its lab to expand testing for another 20 disorders, many of which can be fatal if left untreated. The Health Division intends to increase its fees for this service, although not to the maximum levels established in this bill. Physicians are needed to conduct these new tests. However, the Health Division will use existing physician authority for this requirement. No new positions are necessary at this time. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 2268.
Senator Brown.
I'm just full of questions this morning. Representative Schrader, does this cover, and I'm asking you because I think you can remember. Representative Lewis was trying to expand testing for newborns last session. I believe it was hearing. I don't think we were able to do it successfully. Would this bill cover additional service fees for the expanded hearing test?
I don't believe so. LFO?
Mr. Co-Chair, Senator Brown, no, this is not newborn hearing.
Any additional questions? Representative Hayden.
Representative Schrader, what's the nature of the tests? Are they blood, urine analysis, and where are they done?
I believe it's a combination of tests. They'll be done in their laboratories, but they can microbiological tests.
So where are the samples taken? Where?
Yes, let's have our resident physician.
Let the chair make those distinctions. No offense to, I just don't want to get in the habit of people coming to the dais to espouse their particular points of view. We certainly acknowledge the good representative doctor has the capability, but if staff could answer the question, it would be good representative.
Absolutely.
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Hayden, these tests are taken from blood samples at hospitals and physicians' offices, I believe.
Question of the carrier?
Sure.
Well, what if the baby's born in a taxi or it's a home delivery with a midwife or something? And are these tests voluntary? Are they voluntary? And if they're not voluntary, what happens with those that never make it to a doctor's office or a hospital?
LFO?
Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Hayden, I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that question.
These are done in the hospital, so if you're in a taxi, you're probably out of luck. I'm sure we can accommodate them if they really want to.
Well, I think there's an opportunity here, Mr. Chairman, for us to designate taxi drivers as sample takers.
My brother was born in a taxi.
No, it may be a great leap of imagination here for our committee, but it's possible, indeed plausible, to believe that if a baby was delivered in a taxi, it may at some time in its immediate future find its way to a hospital.
Think so?
And perhaps some tests could be taken there.
Well, that midwife bill.
I don't know. Representative Hill, I hesitate to call on this gentleman, but...
No, Mr. Chair, I was just going to, comment that this is a fee bill and not the issue about whether the screening tests are valid or not. We're just saying, so we really don't care where they're born, just that they pay $50 for the test.
Well, my point is...
Okay, before we get too far off track, any additional comments? Any objections to moving House Bill 2268A as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation? See none, so ordered. Hey, we're turning the page. House Bill 3068.
Yes.
Senator Clarno.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3068 was advanced to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means from the House Transportation Committee with a do-pass recommendation. The bill authorizes the Department of Transportation to charge a fee for issuance of permits to utilities to construct, maintain, or operate facilities in highway right-of-ways. This change is needed to comply with the Department of Justice's letter of advisement on allowable uses of highway funds. To address this conclusion, the Department of Transportation has requested statutory authority to charge a fee to recover the cost of these activities. The Department has estimated the cost associated with issuance and oversight of permits is $3 million per full biennium. The Department estimates the cost of reviewing engineering plans and related activities is $1.6 million per full biennium. Fees will be set at a level to ensure the costs of these activities are recovered. The expenditures have been incorporated in the Department's budget bill, Senate Bill 5545. The Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends approval of this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions? Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question, was there any discussion in terms of the time frames that the agency would respond to these permits so that we don't hold up projects or use this as a way to stop projects because they don't want to give the permits since this is a new authority for this department?
Well, it is not really, I don't believe, and staff can correct me if I'm wrong, that there's just nothing new they don't already do. It's just that now with the Department of Justice saying they have to charge for this, there's still the same engineering concerns and schedules to meet, but there wasn't any discussion about how they would prioritize anything.
Well, and the distinction here, Mr. Chair, is that prior to this, there was not a transaction of dollars on this, and I just am very leery of turning this into a franchising fee along state highways where we don't have franchising and we start using this as a fund revenue raising source rather than a cost recovery. I appreciate the language in the bill where it focuses on that, but other agencies of this government have used permits as a way to stall telecommunications projects along the coast in terms of and so I'm just leery in terms of how this goes. And so I will consider this. I will be a no today. I may reconsider my vote on the floor.
Any additional comments? Questions? With the exception of Representative Hill, are there any no's on House Bill 3068A?
Yes.
Representative Schrader? Let the record show Representative Hill, Representative Schrader are no's, seeing no other nays. House Bill 3068A, as amended, is moved to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. House Bill 3441, Representative Patridge. There
you are. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 3441 is the companion bill to 874. It diverts a portion of the unemployment insurance taxes to generate revenue for the Jobs Plus program to finance Senate Bill 1174. That bill, as we've heard this morning, continues a modified Jobs Plus program for unemployment insurance claimants. House Bill 3441 is expected to provide $25 million to fund the program over the 01-03 and 03-05 biennium. The bill implements a 0.07% diversion of the unemployment insurance taxes over the first and second calendar quarters of 2002-2003. Diversion will not change the employer's out-of-pocket cost. Your Transportation Economic Development Subcommittee recommends your approval of House Bill 3441 as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections to moving House Bill 3441A to the House floor as amended with a due pass recommendation? Thank you, Representative Cho, Representative Hansen, Representative Schrader, Representative Crow, Senator Crow, Senator Brown. Do we need to do a roll call?
No.
That's all, no.
House Bill 3441A, as amended, is moved to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. So ordered. Other business, last bill, Department of Human Services, Senator Duncan.
Yes, it's so nice to see you this morning.
This is the one we've been looking for.
I know. I knew it. And I knew you put it last because you wanted to keep everybody awake who bent the party last night. But anyhow, this bill comes to you from the Human Services Committee, and it's approval of a submission of a grant to the Healthcare Financing Administration for $50,000 to engage in some initial state planning in dealing with the president's new, called New Freedom Initiative. And it's a program aimed at tearing down the barriers to equality for many Americans living with a disability. These grants are known as starter grants. They're available to each state. These grants are the first of several new systems change grants available to states from the federal government. Congress has approved nearly $70 million for these grants. The grants will help develop better ways to support children and adults of any age who have a disability or a long-term illness, so that they can live and participate in their own communities. They plan to use the funds to establish a consumer task force to evaluate future grant opportunities for the program. They'll pay for travel costs, media accommodations, and materials for the people. No additional positions, no matching funds. We really recommend approval, and there is some urgency, Mr. Chair, because the deadline is June 1. You'll note, do you want to explain that to you? The urgency is June 1.
Perhaps you should be quiet so we get to the timeliness of the issue.
Well, you looked like you didn't know what was happening.
That's not just germane to this.
What bills did you say?
Well, thank you for the timely application. We appreciate judiciousness. Any objection or any questions, any discussion? Any objections to accepting the grant application, approving the grant application? Seeing none, so ordered. Announcements. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge and appreciate Representative Dr. Bates, or is this Dr. Representative Bates, for attending all of the Full Ways and Means Committee, and I don't mean to impugn you or your character in any way, shape, or form for not allowing the improperly, you know, requested, somewhat arrogant request from the traitor to bring you to the diet.
It would be nice to have someone intelligent talk to
us. Well, it's okay to impugn Mike here, but the rest of the committee, you know, I think may take exception to that. So thank you for being here, but we just don't want to start the parade. Yeah, I know. And if you don't hang out with him, you'll have better chances than this. Serious announcement. We, as was indicated by yesterday's Full Ways and Means meeting, and particularly if you let your staffs know, that we will be doing this on a fairly regular basis. So let them know that, you know, the response when LFO staff calls is, well, wait a minute, LFO doesn't meet on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Mondays. They meet on Friday. We meet any time that we need to meet. So
that's Full Ways and Means.
That's Full Ways and Means. So just let them know that, you know, we're going to start popping these things in and out, and once we get to 1 hour notice, it could be at very short notice. The other thing, both sides of the building have agreed that we're going to change our scheduling to where we're going to start our subcommittee meetings at 8 a.m., and we're going to do our afternoon or our morning meetings in the morning, and we are going to do our afternoon meetings in the morning. So we'll have more floor time on both the Senate and the House side to get the backlog of bills through. I know that sounds like the 2 o'clock bus will leave at 2:30, which Representative Johnson and I remember from our days at Oregon Episcopal School. But the afternoon meetings will be in the morning now. Representative Brown. Or Senator Brown.
Mr. Chair, I think it's fair to say the Senate is working on it. We are having a few scheduling difficulties, and given the short notice the House gave us, we're trying to work that into everybody.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. It's in the planning stage, but, you know, when and if this starts, that's going to be the schedule. So,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hill.
The Advancing the Government Subcommittee Ways and Means, if I can get everybody just to pick up from here and go to H-170, and we can get that done.
Okay. Advancing the Government, Ways and Means Sub, meeting right now, 170, adjourned.
Yeah.